Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. The Purdys will take care of all your insurance needs, and they'll find you every discount that they can. They take great care of their customers. Trust is so important when it comes to insurance. The Purdys embody trust. Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, K Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. We open up the day by talking about the culture at Penn State and how appropriate it was for James Franklin to go out and just be, again, and Sandy Barber did the same thing, forceful about what the true culture is at Penn State. Keep talking about it. Keep reinforcing it. Do not back off when it comes to this. I've done this for years now, whether it's on this show, whether it's on in speaking engagements, guest on other radio shows. You can't back off on it. You can't give anybody room to breathe to think that this is anything less than what it really is here at Penn State. What is the reality? We live it. We know what the reality is. And so thus, we have to keep pounding away at it and pounding away. Not in part to change minds other places, some minds you're never going to be able to change, but also to reinforce to your own people so that they hear what you're saying and they're like, you know what, I see that too, I believe in it. Very, very important. That's how we opened up the show in the opening half hour today. Last half hour, Ben Jones from StateCollege.com. This half hour should be joined by Dave Paulson in a few moments. Senior day yesterday, a success for Bucknell in their win over Boston University. They have now clinched at least a tie for the Patriot League Championship. They have games on the road this week, Lehigh and American. Then it's the Patriot League basketball tournament. And they know that they will get the quarterfinal game at home. They know if they win, they'll get the semifinal game at home. Then we'll see how it plays out here in the final week as to whether they have the possibility of three home games if they keep winning. And we'll talk to Dave in a few moments about that. So that's what Bucknell has coming up. Penn State did not have a good day Saturday at all. There's no way you can slice it any way possible. Just did not have a good day. They went out to Ohio State and they lost by 20, didn't play well. It wasn't really a surprise to any of us that they kind of hit a little bit of a wall there. But then they came back and played two really strong games against Maryland and Wisconsin. But then went out on Saturday and just could never get out of mud. And if you're going to go into a game, you're going to go into a game thinking, you know what, minimal. Let's just do the minimal game. Minimally, I'm going to say that DJ Newbill and Brandon Taylor, at minimum, combined, are going to give you 20 points. Now, between the two of them, they average 31 a game. But I'm saying conservatively, at minimum, you know what, they'll give us at least 20 today. Minimum. After that, well, you know, you take what you get. They gave him three. Taylor didn't score. Newbill hit a late three. You don't go into any game thinking that's going to happen. So this bye week comes at a good time. They've got Iowa at the end of the week. Iowa went to Nebraska and smashed them. They are 76-48. Iowa's been a weird team this year. Iowa's been a lot like their football team. Bigger expectations, not as much, I mean, but not as much sizzle. I thought the Iowa football team was going to be really good this year. I found them to be one of the biggest disappointments in the league. Iowa basketball team, I thought they were going to be one of the great teams in the league this year. Veterans across the board, White I like, Woodbury, Mike Gazelle, so forth. But they've been some days really, really good like yesterday. Other days, they've struggled like Northwestern last week. I think they're only a game over 500 in the conference, I think. I believe that's where they are. Well, they're here Saturday at 6. They've got another game. They've got Illinois Wednesday at Carver Hawkeye. Talk to Dave Paulson here in a few moments. Get to him. And we'll bring in the head basketball coach of Bucknell, Dave Paulson. Dave, welcome. It's great to have you back.
Good to be on the show, Steve. Thank you.
Let's start with the seniors. Yesterday was senior day for you. You've had them for 4 years. What has that group meant to you and their growth?
Well, you know, they've really been the embodiment of the guys who put the team before themselves individually. And, you know, this year's group, we've played more people than have ever played. We've had guys in different roles. It's really required people to sacrifice, and those three guys really set the tone. You know, none of them are going to be in our top five in scoring. Josh A. Singleton has been injured much of the year. But he's been an unbelievable inspiration to practice. And then Corey Starkey and Steven Casper have been guys who have just really given us energy and toughness and passion and unselfishness and have set the tone for the rest of the guys.
Nearly half of your baskets on the season, Dave, have assists. What kind of ball movement have you had to create that kind of percentage?
Yeah, you know, in league play, well over half of our baskets have been assisted, you know, and I just think, again, that speaks to the unselfishness that our guys have bought into. It doesn't necessarily who makes the basket. It's a basket for Bucknell. Certainly Steven Casper, you know, is our leading guy in terms of assists, and he sets that tone. But we've had guys who've been willing to turn down a pretty good shot to help their teammates get a great shot.
All right, now let's get to the road part of it, because the regular season home schedule is done. Terrific home record for you this year, including 8-1 in the conference. Yet in the conference on the road, you're 4-3 right now. Why have you become, in the conference, a better road team in handling it as you've grown?
Well, again, I think as we've grown, you know, we've understood better. We're certainly not there, but we've won, I'm trying to think what we've won. I think we've won, you know, we won two in a row on the road and run a good, you know, won a good number on the road. And I think understanding the importance of each possession, taking care of the basketball, we've gotten a little bit better defensively as our, you know, young players have kind of understood concepts. We've done a better job, not a great job, but a better job not fouling. And the one thing we have been consistently, we've been the best defensive rebounding team in the league in terms of percentage of opponents' misses that they get. And those are the things that you can do to give yourselves a chance on the road.
You're in the top 100 nationally, Dave, in points per possession. The last number I saw was 1.028. Discuss the efficiency and what that means for you and the kind of game pressure that you can put on teams by being that efficient.
Well, we've become more diverse offensively. Earlier in the year, probably when you saw us against Penn State, if we weren't making threes, we didn't have a chance.
Right.
And the emergence of Nana Fallon in the post, in some ways the Penn State game might have been a little bit of his coming out party in the second half. You know, I think he's going to be announced as a Patriot League Rookie of the Week again, second week in a row, I think fourth time in conference play. He gives us a legitimate low post presence, and I think that's been really important. And then I think the other thing that's really been important for us is Ryan Frazier, Steven Casper, and Steven Brown have played much better of late, and they're guys who can attack the rim. And scoring the paint off the bounce. Certainly Ryan Frazier has been very good at that lately. And then collapse the defense and make pass plays, whether it be to our front court guys or to our guards. And so we've now had that ability to score on post-ups, on dribble penetration, as well as three-point shooting.
Because now you're up to 48% of your scoring from two-pointers. Is that giving you a good inside-out balance that makes you more effective, especially creating some spacing because of it?
Yes. Yeah, we're better. You know, we're better inside the paint. We're still not great. Our field goal percentage is not as good inside the arc as you'd like it to be. Again, that's a product of younger guys who are penetrating and learning how to finish, you know, among the tall trees and through contact. You know, it's young post players scoring through contact, but we're significantly improved there. And that puts some pressure on the defense and allows for some kick-out threes and inside-out threes and things of that nature.
One of the areas where it's difficult, at least in my experience of covering games, to get young players to buy into right away is defensive concepts. It's not that they don't want to play defense, but there's concepts with it. How well have your guys done with rotations? How different are they now with rotations compared to maybe even 6 weeks ago?
Well, we're better. We're definitely better. We're still a ways away, to be quite candid with you. But we're significantly better than we were earlier on. And, understanding how much help that, one of the things is we're not the most athletic of teams. And so being able to try to keep good, quick penetrating guards out of the paint, and understanding how much help we have to give and then being able to recover out to shooters, being able to execute different ball screen coverages. Now, we're still probably only doing two different coverages, whereas maybe in years past we might have been able to do four. So we're not as advanced as we were a couple of years back, but we're significantly further along than we were 6 weeks ago.
What's the mental toughness of your team in the final 5 minutes of a game when you got to make a play at both ends?
Well, I think that's improving, Steve. I think winning some games, some shootout games where both teams play really well offensively, like our game at Army, improved our mettle. But then I think also winning a game like our game before that against Navy, where neither team could make a basket really, and we had to find a way to gut it out and get an offensive rebound and get to the foul line and get stops. And so that's what we're trying to stress to our guys is, let's win the 52-50 game, let's win the 82-50 game, but, the 50's got to be the common denominator in terms of, what we want the opponents to score.
I was lecturing in my class today on doing play-by-play, Dave, and I said to them, look, never go into a game with assumptions. I said, it's a clean slate, and every game does take on its own personality. In some ways, is your team the definition of every game does take on its own personality?
Every second takes on its own personality, Steve. I think to some degree when I kind of just said, okay, we can't change it, we're going to embrace it, I think that has allowed me to coach a little bit better, in terms of saying, hey, tonight it might be this kid off the bench and the next night he may not have a chance of making a basket and it might be a different guy. Tonight this guy can really lock up the ball handler. The next day he's not as ready. But the nice thing is we have a lot of options, and our guys have really bought into being ready whenever the number is called, however big their role is on that particular night.
I'll give you the line of the year on that one, and we'll end it on that. Every second is a different personality. Dave, thanks so much. I appreciate the time. Good luck this week.
All right, thanks, Steve.
All right, Dave. Dave Paulson, a basketball coach at Bucknell. One of the really great guys out there. Great basketball coach. Really. It's one of the areas of doing this between Dave and Joe Susan by getting them on every week and really getting to know them. You realize how lucky Bucknell is to have two outstanding coaches who understand people, understand players, understand concepts, understand X's and O's, understand the psychology of the game, but also have a little personality to go along with it. We'll come back with more in a moment. Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury on News Radio 1070 WKOK. This year marks Sunbury Motor Company's 100th year in business, and we will be keeping the same tried and true values we've had ever since we opened our doors, guaranteeing your car buying experience will be smooth and hassle-free. No spinning a wheel for specials you don't need or want. No pushy sales staff pouncing on you as soon as you arrive. No sideshow yelling. Since we began back in 1915, we have strived to be your most trusted friend when it comes to all of your new car needs, whether that's in sales or service. We strive to offer you as many viable options as we possibly can. Sunbury Motor Company always carries a line of few other options. auto dealers in our area can compete with. With our inventory of Ford, Hyundai, Kia, and Lincoln vehicles, there should be no problems with finding the right vehicle to fit your needs. Our friendly and trustworthy staff is knowledgeable in all of our products and stand ready to answer all of your questions and meet all of your needs. In honor of 100 years in business, SMC is introducing the all-new Auto Club, where Sunbury Motors will pay you for every mile you drive. Be sure to ask us about our Auto Club benefits. Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza and at sunburymotors.com. Proudly owned by the Mertz family since 1915. About 15 minutes away from hearing about the new vehicle that Kevin is driving from Sunbury Motors this week. Look forward to that very much. A lot of thrills at the Daytona 500 yesterday when they weren't moving. All right, so...
You just can't get over the fact that they red flagged it. That just killed you, didn't it? I thought it was a great idea. Would you like the race to end under yellow? No, they red flagged it so they could get everything cleaned up and then you could have a green-white checkered. I mean, at least they finished it under green, kind of. I mean, there's nothing more discouraging than invest all the time in watching a race and then having it end under yellow.
Okay. All right. Okay. The great analytics debate. It is incredible what analytics have done to A, get people interested, but also how teams are trying to use it now. And there's a real butting of heads at the moment between those who love analytics and they feel it tells a story versus those who resist it. And I think there's a balance and middle ground between them. I think, for example, let's take fantasy anything, fantasy football, fantasy baseball. Kevin's a big fantasy football player. It has increased interest across the board for so many people because they can then apply the numbers and be interested in other games. And Kevin's talked about this how many different times, where you're suddenly going to be interested in the San Diego Chargers if Ryan Matthews is on your fantasy team.
Exactly.
So they're really debating this now as to what the merit is. Now, the first team, we talk about Moneyball and the Oakland A's, but the Red Sox actually hired Bill James, you know, years ago. James has himself 3 world championship rings. They hired Bill James a long time ago, really is the godfather of analytics. As to what it means. Now, the one analytic there's several analytics I don't care, doesn't matter to me. The one I don't buy is wins above replacement. I think that's, you know, I believe that one, you can use a 5-letter word to get rid of that one, fraud. It's just hey, let's throw a dart.
I guess it all depends on who you're replacing them with, if it really makes a difference. That's where you got to factor into that.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're replacing him with a guy who barely made it out of AAA and, you know, now is coming in, then that number is going to be a lot higher. If you're replacing him with an all-star, it's going to be a lot lower.
Right. It's a fraud. Okay. Now let's talk about analytics. Which teams love analytics? All right. Guess what is the number one team that absolutely in all major sports that embraces analytics more than anybody else?
What team?
Yep.
In any sport?
Which teams are working the angles the best? Which have embraced data the most in the 4 major pro teams?
Well,
The A's. The number one team is the Philadelphia 76ers.
What numbers are they using? Yeah, because it sure ain't working.
Okay. No, I'm just telling you, okay? I'm giving you information here. Hey, they're actually number one. Number two is the Houston Astros. Now, to their credit, we're seeing an upward trend in what they're doing. Hey, number three, and of course this goes back to the Charles Barkley comment, the Houston Rockets. Remember, that's who we got in a real Daryl Morey. And by the way, Sam Henke, who's the Sixers GM, guess who he worked for? He used to work for Daryl Morey, the Rockets GM. So the Rockets are third. Tampa Bay Rays are fourth in using analytics. Fifth, the Red Sox. And I already mentioned obviously, Bill James. Well, they're fifth in using analytics. The Yankees are sixth, believe it or not, in terms of the importance they put on it. Seventh, the San Antonio Spurs. Eighth, Mark Cuban and the Dallas Mavericks. Ninth, Kevin, you mentioned the Oakland A's.
They're the ones that invented it, right?
Well, Billy Bean in conjunction with Bill James is really the godfather of it. But Billy Bean was the first one in a GM's position to embrace it. How about that?
Okay.
And then 10th, the Chicago Blackhawks. So look at this. It's a real wide range of success versus lack of success. Because obviously the Rockets are successful, the Red Sox are, the Yankees are, the Spurs, Mavericks are good. A's have been hanging in there, and the Blackhawks are great. Now we're going to tell you the 10 teams that don't embrace it after the news, and then Kevin tells us about what he's driving from Sunbury Motors. Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to PurdyInsurance.com.
Calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show, boys and girls, being brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to PurdyInsurance.com. They'll find you the best rates. They'll make sure you are completely covered. They care about each customer as if they're family. It's Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to PurdyInsurance.com. I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 to 15, Hummel's Wharf. And Kevin has a new vehicle this week.
This week we're featuring the Hyundai Elantra 5-door hatchback GT edition. It's a 2.0 4-liter engine, so you get great gas mileage, plus a little bit of power to boot. Let me tell you, you put your foot into it, it goes. It's a five-passenger vehicle with a six-way driver's seat that includes reclining abilities as well, plus the 60-40 split bench, so you could actually flip things back and store even more into the hatch area. Don't forget about the power windows, power doors, and cruise control that includes also the ability to take that steering wheel and telescopic it out toward it. Telescopic? Can you do that? Anyway, you can make it telescopic, and you can also tilt the wheel, too, to find the perfect position. So when you have that six-way driver's seat, you can just find the perfect spot there, take the steering wheel, find the perfect spot there. You have the most comfortable vehicle you could find. Check out the new 2014 Hyundai Elantra GT 5-door we're featuring this week on my Facebook page and at Kevin Herr on Twitter, and you can see all the details on the vehicle on your own, including the sticker, as a matter of fact, because they have that online for you too with that link. And right now, save $5,000 plus at Sunbury Motors Hyundai, and that's in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza in Sunbury.
All right, great. And there are 122 teams that have professional sports in the four major leagues. And we talked about the top 10 as to how they use analytics. And it was a real mix. I mean, some like a Houston or a Tampa Bay up and coming. Oakland, Kevin had mentioned them, ranked third in baseball, ninth overall. But there are a lot of extremely successful teams in there. The Red Sox, they've won 3 World Series. The Chicago Blackhawks, they won a couple of Stanley Cups. The San Antonio Spurs, all in the top 10. Now here are the bottom 10 in use of analytics, because that's a big thing today. I mean, you have your fantasy leagues and you try to figure out through fantasy points what's going on, and that's increased. But it's also the increasing use of analytics in sports. These are the bottom 10 now. that have the least use for it. Number 113, the Los Angeles Lakers. They don't like using analytics. Now, the Mitch Kupchak has started to change. He's hired four new staffers from SportView cameras, which track player locations all over the court. That's how exact this gets. Part of the problem is, like, take Byron Scott. Byron Scott doesn't like the three-point shot. You better love the three-point shot. It's has the point value that's important. They're 25th in three-point attempts. They're 113. 114, the New York Jets, well behind the curve on analytics.
And talent.
Well, but see, that's that. See, I think analytics, Kevin, are not the answer, but I think if you do not use them to at least give you supporting data one way or the other when you're trying to make a decision on a couple of guys, I think you're foolish not to use it. I think you're foolish not to use it. You can't make analytics the be-all, end-all as to why you make a decision, but I think it has to be a very important tool in helping you differentiate between maybe three, four, five guys that you really like. How about that? The Miami Marlins at 115. Now, you would think that this would be a group that would use sabermetrics like Oakland, Tampa Bay, you know, small market team that would try to do this. And their new manager, Mike Redmond, is not a guy that is really inclined for metrics. Just not. Again, GM Dan Jennings, scouting background. Number 116, the Tennessee Titans. Ken Wisenhunt's not into analytics. Just not. Remember the contract they gave Chris Johnson? $31 million guaranteed? Really? You don't do that for a running back in the NFL. You don't. It's one of the things you're going to face with Le'Veon Bell here at some point. Because running backs have a shelf life. 117, the Colorado Avalanche. Not big on it. The Avalanche in the bottom five in the league in puck possession. That's one of the big analytics in hockey, puck possession. In other words, you can't score if I've got it. And they use the, you know, a lot of teams use that. Buffalo, by the way, is last in that. 118, the Brooklyn Nets. Now, Brooklyn is about to change that. They've actually hired a specific position in the organization of analytics director. But, I mean, they picked up Paul Pierce, Kevin Garnett, and so forth. They're like, okay. But then they hired Lionel Hollins, who, when he was in Memphis, wasn't all for analytics. 119, the San Diego Chargers. Now, one of the big metrics in football is, guess what? Going forward on fourth down. Now, Mike McCoy says, look, I got to go with my gut decisions on those things. I don't want to use a piece of paper. I agree with that, actually. Yet they were next to last in going forward on fourth down last year. Interesting. So they're 119. 120. Don't fall off your chairs. The Washington Redskins. The Redskins fired economics PhD Jeff Dominitz 7 weeks after they hired him to be a statistical analyst. Now, Scott McLuhan's a really good scout, according to a lot of NFL analytical consultants, but just a really good scout. They have no full-time employee dedicated to analytics. One of the reasons you don't give up six picks for a quarterback. Number 121. See, none of these teams are surprising you, are they? 121. The New York Knicks. They don't believe in it. The Knicks lead the NBA in attempting mid-range shots. They also lead the NBA in the Eastern Conference in losses. They're not a big believer in the three ball. They just let Carmelo Anthony pound the ball and the franchise into irrelevance. And dead last at 122. Guess who's dead last at 122? I'll give you three guesses.
Dead last at 122.
In the use of analytics.
Okay. My first thought was going to be the Oakland Raiders.
No.
My next thought would be... Well, I would have honestly thought about the Sixers until you told me that.
Nope, they're number one.
How about the Penguins?
Nope. One more guess.
And I'm gonna stick here with football on this one, and I'm gonna go with the Arizona Cardinals.
The Philadelphia Phillies. Dead last.
Yeah, but they don't believe in anything. So that doesn't count.
They've never had an in-house stat guy. And
I should have gotten that one, though.
And they still don't. I thought you'd get it on the first guess.
I should have.
The Phillies are dead last when it comes to the use of analytics in all of sports, not just baseball, all of sports. How about that one? I mean, that's the overall. Okay, what sport do you want to know as to who uses analytics?
I would be interested to see how football uses analytics.
Let's get to the NFL. Okay, all in. Nobody in the NFL's all in. All right? According to this article on ESPN, these are the believers. The believers on the list would be the Atlanta Falcons, the Baltimore Ravens, the Browns, Dallas Cowboys, Jacksonville Jaguars, Chiefs, the Patriots, the Eagles, and the 49ers. I'm not surprised that Chip would be there. You know, Chip's very progressive in a lot of ways. Yeah, but he's very progressive in a lot of ways. Okay? All right, now let's get to 1 foot in. All right, okay. The Bills, the Bears, the Packers, the Dolphins, the Raiders, Seahawks, and Tampa Bay.
Is this the Bills with the new organization or the old organization?
Well, I mean, Rex may be there, but that doesn't mean that there's not a GM that doesn't believe in it. All right? I mean, the Patriots believe it. Take the Patriots. They're up in that upper group. You know, they believe in the use of analytics. Remember, they were also the ones that had the capologist. Now, we'll see if Rex Ryan changes their thought process on this or not. Okay, skeptics. These are the skeptics when it comes to analytics. Cardinals, Carolina, Bengals, Broncos, Lions, Houston Texans, Indianapolis Colts, Vikings, New Orleans Saints, the Giants, the Steelers, and the St. Louis Rams. Okay, they're in the group of skeptics. And then there's, of course, the non-believers. We already know who they are because we just labeled them all. Jets, Chargers, Titans, and Redskins. Redskins are dead last, by the way, among NFL teams in the use of analytics. Dead last. Steelers. Steelers are among the NFL teams that use the catapult to track their players' exertion and conditioning during practices. And I know basketball does that here. This in itself represents a major step for the organization steeped in tradition. They've been one of the team's most successful franchises for several generations and believe it stems from a steady hand rather than quick steps to embrace a fad or new trend. On a quiet and experimental level, the Steelers have also begun to develop statistical information that could be useful for player acquisition and game management. But it's not believed to be the team's football leaders. General Manager Kevin Colbert and Mike Tomlin have embraced the concept. So, you know, the GM and the coach don't embrace it. Look, you can get a, you know, you can also talk yourself out of information too. So let's not. I mean, information can talk you out of things too. So let's not forget that part. Sometimes you have too much info. Let's see, Major League Baseball. We already know who ranks last. All in. Red Sox, Cubs, Indians, Astros, Yankees, A's, the Pirates, the Cardinals, and the Rays. The Believers, okay. Yeah, let's you know, we believe in this, you know, but we're, you know, but we're not going to use it completely to make decisions. Orioles, the Royals, Dodgers, Mets, Padres, Jays, and Nationals. 1 foot in. White Sox, Angels, Brewers, Giants, Mariners, Rangers. Not like there's some, not any success in that group. There is some. The Skeptics. Okay, not so sure. Which would be Arizona, Atlanta, Cincinnati, Detroit. And these last two, I think, need to do more with it because they're in markets where you need to do more. And that would be the Twins and the Rockies. And the non-believers are the Marlins and the Phillies. They're the only two in the non-believer category in Major League Baseball.
But if you're the Phillies, you should be believing in anything you can find that will help you.
I understand that. I'm just saying, I think it's great to have as much information. Analytics cannot manage how you do the roster. Analytics cannot manage the game for you. But they can help you understand and help steer you in certain directions as to what possibilities you need to consider. How about that?
I think that's fair.
In the NBA, the believers that are all in are the Mavericks, the Rockets, the Sixers, and the Spurs. Okay, they're the all-in, they're the four all-in teams, three of which are playoff teams, and one, of course, is terrible. The Believers, okay, the Hawks, the Celtics, Cavaliers, the Detroit Pistons, Golden State, Memphis, Oklahoma City, Portland. The only one that's, you know, the Celtics and Detroit are struggling a bit right now. All the other ones are rather successful. Hawks are having a great year. Cavaliers are coming on. Golden State's tremendous. They're the most entertaining basketball team I've watched in a long time. Obviously, Oklahoma City, Portland's really good to watch. And Memphis is very good. 1 foot in. The Charlotte Hornets, Pacers, Miami Heat, the Bucks, Orlando Magic, Phoenix Suns, Sacramento Kings, Raptors, and Utah. The Jazz. Skeptics include the Bulls, the Nuggets, the Clippers, T-Wolves, New Orleans Pelicans, and the Washington Wizards, and the non-believers are the Nets, the Lakers, and the Knicks. Interesting. And as for hockey, when it comes to there's only one all-in team in the NHL. That's the Chicago Blackhawks, and are they successful?
I was going to say, it works well for them.
Right.
I would think the Penguins would be on the lower end of this list.
No, they're actually at the upper end, Kevin. They're actually in the number two group, the Believers group. The Bruins, the Buffalo Sabres, Columbus Blue Jackets, the Oilers, L.A. Kings, the Minnesota Wild, the Islanders, the Penguins, the Blues, Tampa Bay Lightning, the Leafs, Washington Caps, Winnipeg Jets, all in the Believers category on analytics that they're very useful. The 1 foot in, okay, some use for it. Arizona Coyotes, Calgary Flames, the Carolina Hurricanes, the Dallas Stars, the Wings, Panthers, Montreal Canadiens, Nashville Predators, who have the best record in the NHL right now, Devils, the Flyers, the San Jose Sharks, and the Vancouver Canucks. The skeptics are the Ducks, the Rangers, and the Ottawa Senators. The one non-believer, the Colorado Avalanche. There is an absolute place for analytics, but I think I don't think you could ever be hurt by having too much data. But it still comes down to the human being as to how you use the data to go in conjunction with what you see. We were just talking about Mike Hull earlier. Okay, I can tell you what I see. Now I'm going to take a look at the analytics to see how much it confirms a couple of things for me. We talk about how short his arms are. Well, okay, let's take a look at that. Okay, I got a measurement, arm short. Okay, let's watch the tape. Does it affect how he plays? Because the shorter your arms are, that means that a better chance of getting into your body. Worst thing you can do in the NFL on defense, getting a guy into your body. Okay, we'll come back, wrap it up in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
You just don't think about insurance. You buy a home, you take out a policy, and you forget about it until something happens and you need it. Then you think about insurance a lot. My agent recommended insurance from Selective. Insurance for our home and property, jewelry, even the food in our refrigerator. Selective thinks about everything, so I don't have to.
Selective. Response is everything. Get to know us at Selective.com.
Get to know your local Selective agent, Pretty Insurance, on Market Street in Sunbury or at PrettyInsurance.com. Find out what Pretty Insurance can do for you.
All right, Nebraska, Penn State has Iowa coming up next, and that will be Saturday at 6 here in the Jordan Center, Ron, beginning at 5:30. But it's what's interesting is Iowa, which has been a little bit up and down, especially on the road this year, went to Nebraska to play the Cornhuskers on Sunday? I think it was Sunday. And they blew Nebraska out at Pinnacle Bank Arena, no less. Blew them out. 74-46. I mean, in Lincoln. So you know what Tim Miles, the basketball coach, has done? Chained and locked the locker room door. Players are not allowed to go into the locker room for anything for the foreseeable future. Locker room has big screen. I've been in there, actually. Big screen televisions, a pool table, a smoothie bar.
Wow, it sounds like my lounge.
All right. And he's told them, no way. He says, you want to practice? You got practice in your own shorts and T-shirts. No practice jerseys. No locker room access. Lost five games in a row. And you lose by 28 at home. Not going to be tolerated. Tim Miles goes over to Home Depot, gets some chains and a lock. Done. Gone.
Thanks for stopping.
Don't need any analytics for that. The analytics. Here's the analytic. You lost by 28 in your home floor. Mike Hall of Big Ten Network coming up on Thursday this week. First time we've ever had Mike on the show.